going to lead a first lesson. So we hope that you are feeling very well resourced around creating your lessons. We have a website with lots of resources, sample agendas, what should be included in each lesson. You have lots of books. One of my mentees called the Clinician's Guide the Bible. And it can feel like that. There's so much in there. And just to be clear, the lessons they have are way bigger and longer than anything that we would expect you to do in an hour, hour and a half. So, right, it's about picking and choosing what resonates for you. Some of the other books, You Belong and Resilient, also have some practices embedded. You may want to do like I did, Rick Hansen. I modeled a lesson after one of his concepts. You have all been creating lessons for your peer and mentor sessions, and you've heard your peers and mentors deliver lessons. You've heard us deliver lessons. So we're really hoping you're feeling confident. And we just want to go over how we create lessons. So the core components are the mindfulness sitting practices, didactic teachings, having a question and answer period, or if not a specific period, but just allowing time for questions and answers in the lesson, and time for participants to share their experiences, and then a checkout. Also, I think it's important to have three or four kind of takeaways that you want your people to leave with, core ideas. And then some considerations, what we talked about yesterday. Who is your group? You know, if it's kids, you definitely want to have movement. If it's a pain management group, you might want to really limit movement. Right? So these are the things to think about. What language do you want to use? Timing, when you want to schedule it too, but that's... Zoom or in person, we just talked about that. Thank you, Forrest. Do you have visual aids? You want some slides if you're doing it on Zoom. And if you're doing it in person, maybe handouts, maybe some post-its. The size of your group will determine a few things. Your check-in question. Now you may have noticed, sometimes we have, let's do a check-in with one word. If we have a really full schedule, or if we have everyone here, you want to, hopefully you get one more than one word, but you know, really one or two sentences. Or if you have a very small group, you can ask an open-ended question and allow for more time. But really consider, I know Sasha had 12 people in her group. That's a large, large group, right? So you want to think about what questions am I asking for check-in. Instead of full share-out, you might want to have turn and talk. I like to think of my timing, when I'm coming up to my lesson, how many minutes am I allowing for the check-in, how much for the stop and arrive, the talk, and that can be really helpful. And then going through it and making sure you can stay within that time, allowing time, of course, for questions and reflections. Make it engaging. Steph, you're really good at sharing personal stories. That can be really hook people, right? Why, you know, oh, this is, you know, a story that often can hook them. Having, if you're on Zoom, or having interesting cartoon or slide, like yesterday, right, the video, just how can you make it engaging? Also thinking about your enthusiasm for the topics. If you really are, you know, loving the brain science, and talking about that, and your enthusiasm will hopefully will come through. Uh, Keeping it simple and being yourself. On one hand, an hour and a half can seem like a long time. You don't want to overwhelm people. Just like with the slides, you don't want too many things. You want to have a few ideas you're trying to get across. You really want to think, how much are you talking and are other people talking? Really having a good balance. Steph and Forrest, do you have any things you'd like to add?
One thing that comes up for me, along the lines of thinking about your topic and how interested you are in your topic, this is also a Bob Jensen, a former colleague of ours, piece of sage advice I got from him 10 years ago, and that was to really sit with your topic for the week before you're bringing it forward. So if you are doing your practicum, for example, 4 weeks in a row, can you carve out some space for yourself, 15 minutes after your first class, for example, to read through your lesson for the next week? And really just take in, like, what is my theme, what's my topic, and allow that to live in you for the week going forward. And just see what you notice. It's often from these times that we will have experiences that will become the stories that you share. Because they'll be relevant, they'll be fresh, they'll be on top for you. And so just noticing how that topic shows up in your life. So that may be, that for me has been one of the biggest little nuggets that I've been holding on to for some time. So that's a share.
And I would say this is just more a logistic-y thing and how I structure something, because I'm such like a linear thinker. And so I need to open a document and be like, have a title at the top. I like organize the structure of what I'm doing. Then I go back and think through each part and like what I want to do, what I want to say. So I, make the title, and then it's like, put the date on. Number one, check it, or, practice. And I put how many minutes it is. And I might even put the time we start. Like, we start at 4 o'clock, start at 4 o'clock. Okay, the next thing's supposed to start around, 4:20. And it's never going to be exactly, but this is what we have here in this chart. We have times and how long things are supposed to be. And even if it doesn't work out exactly like that, if I have a number of things that I want to get in or bring to the group, I have it ready and about how long it takes. Sometimes it totally goes off and it's like, all right, in the moment I need to cut out this part and this part, and that's fine, because what we're doing, it's more important to be present to what's there than to get everything on your agenda. So, and also to be able to hold the container, so if you're going off on tangents, they're actually moving the group forward in the learnings and not just like a sharing time for great stories, which is also wonderful, but sometimes we can get stuck doing that. So I like to create my structure and then go back and think, okay, for like the talk part, what do I really want to get across? What are my main points? And then I might sit and actually speak it out loud. I might run through what I'm doing, at least the talking parts, and I might say it out loud a few times to just sort of feel it. Because I want it to come across naturally. I don't always get to do this, but if I have something big, then I will practice. There's something else. Oh, also when I'm planning for groups, I always like to have time for them to talk in small groups. I think it's really important. And you'll know with your group, some groups are like nobody wants to talk in a whole group. They're like, be quiet. And you might start feeling like, oh boy, what's going on? Nobody wants to share. But if you make smaller groups, they will. I that's been my experience. They will share in smaller groups. Some people do not want to share in a whole big group. So consider mixing up the partnerships. Have fun ways to get them together so they're talking to different people all the time, not the same people. So that's just sort of in my preparation, that's how I do it. I get the structure. when I was a teacher, I had to set my room up and make it look good before I could actually like plan what I was going to teach. Mm-hmm. I like had to have my environment, my structure ready before I could do the meaty part. But that's just me.
Is that called quality control?
Yeah, pretty much.
Ginny.
So I've noticed that sometimes you three allow us to keep talking. Like I've noticed that energy. And then there are a few times where you've kind of indicated that there's a time frame that we're sticking to. But it's been very subtle and gentle. And so I just wondered if you had any, like, three different phrases that for us to keep in our minds and be aware of as go-tos in those situations where we realize, oh, we're just going, like, off time frame here, and how do I come back?
I like to be like, I love these stories so much, or I love this, and I want to keep us on track, you know, something like that. That would be a phrase I would say. Do you guys have any?
Yeah, similar, you know, loving this conversation, and there's more we need to get to, and I want to make sure we can cover a few more things and make sure we end on time.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And maybe something simple like, so let's take one more share. Or, that was great. And then, yeah, just, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we have time for one more, or something like that.
Emma, I can't see you, but I understand you have your hand up.
No, I just wasn't imagining the same thing, Steph, when I plan things. Like, I just do all the obvious, like, framework-y things first, and then, like, go back and pull it out.
Nice. You all have created many lessons already, at least two. Mm-hmm. Heard many.
Yeah.
Julia.
I've noticed in this training that we kind of start dead on the dot. And so is that something that you encourage?
Yeah.
Because I notice even if people haven't arrived, and is that something that is a good practice?
I feel like it is. I feel like if you wait for every person to arrive, you're going to be way off time, and then you want to honor people. I just feel like honoring the commitment that you said that it was going to be this time to this time, that's what we're going to stick to. Mm-hmm. And if people come late, that's fine. And if, you know, we're not going to go over. I don't know. That's how I feel about it. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think that's critical, actually. That holding the end time in particular, the start time, yes.
Yes.
And but holding that end time, just to be respectful of what people signed up for.
And, you know, a first lesson, if no one's there yet and everyone's caught in traffic, I think you just wait for people, and at some point say, okay, so we're getting started a little later, I'm gonna have to, you know, cut some material, but next week we're starting right at 7. And I understand things happen, but yeah, I think letting them know, and even in the email before, we will be starting promptly at 7, and if you are, hopefully you're not late, if you are, can just enter quietly or something like that.
Yeah, and our part of our old agreements, it was like, no need to apologize, just like stuff happens, you know, just come in, you're welcome to come,
yeah,
you know, stuff happens.
Every once in a while, Julia, every once in a while, depending on the group and the vibe of what's going on, if we're really deep into something important, I might check in and ask who has a hard stop at whatever time. And if there's, you know, a couple people, then we stop, or somebody will say, well, I do, but the other rest of the group really wants to engage, then I might say, we're gonna extend this for five minutes, but I really just read my room, but I don't do that very often.
This is kind of helpful to hear about the, like, having a hard start, because one thing that I've been processing through is that in my practice, it's going to be like after a church service, sort of a little ways into their coffee hour, so everyone's there, but they're going to be filtering in the coffee hour, and we've been in a conversation there kind of around, like, do we, you know, do we let them linger at coffee hour for a long time? Do we have them come in sooner? But it's sounding to me like it's going to be one of these cases where people will be filtering in at various times. Nancy can probably speak to this the best of anyone. You're very familiar with, you know, maybe having that sort of dynamic too.
Give them 15 minutes of coffee hour and then have a hard beginning.
A hard beginning.
Or a little filter in.
Yeah. No, but meaning that the people may filter in from coffee hour but to have a hard beginning.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Oh,
is what I'm saying. Like they might be like, I've got my snack, I'm here, or I chatted with people for 5 more minutes, I'm here, but then saying like 11:30 is when we start.
Yeah.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. All right, thank you.
I like the way when we enter the meditating is starting too. So mm-hmm. maybe, you know, that immediately makes me okay. Sit down and join in. Mm-hmm. So I think that would be a good way if you're coming from a coffee hour, people are filtering, at least when they enter, it's like, it starts.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. And you can settle down too.
Right.
It's not like you have to try to miss the conversation or something.
Right.
So I'm sure there are more questions. We're going to move, unless there's something burning right now. We're going to move into the lesson. I'm going to model what a first lesson might look like. And I have six students, and we're going to do kind of a fishbowl. And we're going to have an inner circle.
Do you want us to move?
Let's see what this